Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Third chapter of Joshua, page 261 in your Scofield Bible. You're reading the first four verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, page 261 in your Scofield Bible. And as we customarily do, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day you've given us. Regardless of what the weather is, it's just good to be in church. It's good to be with our church family. It's good to be in a place where you meet with us faithfully. Truly, these thousands are now gathered to hear thy word, and you've promised to be with those where there are but two or three gathered together in thy name. Surely thou art here. We rejoice because of thy presence, and of course, we've come to expect good things to happen. Once again, bless us. Bless our preacher and help us to hear carefully the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, the God of the Red Sea is the God of the Jordan River. The God of the Red Sea is the God of the Jordan River. I ask you to listen very carefully, and may I remind you, what I always remind you, on Lord's Supper Day, it is now 11:40 according to the clock up there. I will be through preaching by 12:10. I've never broken that promise yet. And we will be gone by 12:30, as we always are. Now I want you, everybody, to be still, and ushers, don't let other folks come in now, and let me talk to you for a while. There are people here this morning, maybe you're not one of them, but there are people here this morning to whom this is life or death. They just barely make it in service. One lady said to me, I wish you had preaching every other day, because the preaching service is what I live by and live for. And so I hope you listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father, I preach all over the country, but there's no place where I preach that I enjoy it like here. And there's no place that I preach that I want to be a help as much as I do here. These are the people that we have shared life with for these many years. Some, nearly 40 years, we've shared life together. And so I pray this morning that the pastor shall feed the people with encouragement, challenge, vision, hope, and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to listen carefully as I speak rapidly this morning. Every child, sit up straight, put your coloring book up. Every teenager, hush. And everybody, listen carefully. Brother Colston, wake up. Let me take just a few moments by introduction to tell you what's behind my preparing this sermon. Mrs. Hiles and I, we've been through and with you and other churches 50 years, 51 years of struggle, sometimes heartache, victories, some defeats, noontime, some midnights, clear, sunshiny days, cloudy days. But for the last few years, things have been peaceful with us. So that I don't mean between us. We still have our fights at home, but I'm talking about our ministry has been a peaceful one. We're senior citizens. Well, I am. I'm now 72 years of age. Somehow we talked about it. Maybe the battles are over. Maybe we can settle down and in our last years of serving God, maybe we'll have some peace from the battles. A year or so ago, we took a group of people to the Niagara Falls, pastor school winners, and several pastors and their wives, and Ms. Hiles and I led the tour. And Monday night, we had a wonderful time, and Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon, and wonderful time. And Tuesday night, just before we left to go to a little cruise dinner kind of a thing, a boat with a meal on the boat, the phone rang, or I called in, and I think it was Ms. McKinney who told me. She said, "Pastor, you're on the front page of the Hammond Times again." I can't tell you how I felt. I said, "I'm 70 years old. I thought that was all over." Somebody had accused one of our retarded or educable slow young men of raping an educable slow young lady over in the Pathfinder's department. And of course, it's my fault. I mean, I'm the fellow who creates an atmosphere. I'm the fellow who doesn't even allow students to hold hands on campus. The fellow that thinks that young people shouldn't kiss till after they're pronounced husband and wife. I am supposed to create an atmosphere conducive to rape. Well, the battle was here again. I'm not depressed often, but Ms. Howes and I certainly flirted with depression that night. We weren't laughing, cutting up. In fact, we got alone. We just sat there on the boat and looked out to the water and realizing that once again, and maybe for the rest of our lives, we'll have to stay in the battle. I think it was 3 weeks ago last Thursday, I was given a 5.5-hour deposition. I was grilled, sat there in the same chair 5.5 hours, never got out. I was grilled by the attorney, not ours, but the other side. I don't think I've ever been as near discouragement in my life, and I'm a happy person. Depression is a stranger to me. Melancholy is a foreigner to me. But for the next few days after that deposition, I really fought it. Ms. Hiles will tell you, I really fought it. I outlined this sermon one night, late at night, after that deposition. The Israelites were facing a new era in their lives. They were entering into the Promised Land and were facing the Jordan River. New problems and new battles challenge them and face them. The future is unknown. They even had a new leader and were in a new land. There will be no more manna falling from heaven as had for 40 years. No pillar of cloud by day to cool them. And no pillar of cloud by night, pillar of fire by night to warm them. And no pillar of cloud and pillar of fire to guide them and lead them. There they stand on the banks of the Jordan River, about to enter into a new era of their lives. And they were apprehensive even about crossing the Jordan River. No rock to give water to quench their thirst. Before them lay the great unknown. They were justifiably apprehensive. They had not passed this way before. And that was the text verse a while ago. You've not passed this way before. They stand on the banks of the Jordan River. Are you listening to me this morning? They stand on the banks of the Jordan River facing a new era, like some of you. Some of you this morning are facing a new era in your life.
A new battle is facing you. A new heartache has come your way. New enemies have attacked you. There are new challenges. Maybe you're a new college student and a new era of your life has started. Maybe you just got married and you're in a new era of your life. Or you have been diagnosed with a new illness. Or maybe you're starting life without a loved one that's passed away. Or you have been forsaken by a spouse and you're starting a life to rear your children by yourself. Or the nest is empty at home and you're starting a life of just the two of you now being together. Or maybe you're going to pastor a new church and you're starting a new era. That's exactly where the Israelites were. They're facing the Jordan River and somewhat apprehensive about it with the wilderness now behind them. And then their hope, listen to me, their hope rested in the words that Moses had spoken in his last hours. This is what he said. Thou shalt remember all the way Jehovah thy God hath led thee. What he was saying was, through many dangers, toils, and snares, you have already come. 'Tis grace hath led you safe thus far, and grace will lead you home. Moses was reminding God's people of all the things that God had done for them. He was saying, remember that God delivered you from Pharaoh's fetters? Cannot that God deliver you again? Remember the manna that fell from heaven like little one-a-day vitamin pills covering the ground like the hoary frost of the morning? Remember that? Cannot that God feed you again? Remember the Red Sea over which you crossed on dry ground and the Egyptian armies were buried there permanently? Cannot that God care for you again? Remember the pillar of fire that warmed you by day? Cannot that God warm you again? Remember the pillar of cloud that cooled you by daytime? The pillar of cloud by night that led you? Cannot that God lead you again? Remember the smitten rock in Horeb, from which you got the water to take care of your needs? Cannot that God provide for you again? God said, remember the Shekinah glory over the mercy seat. Remember the bitter waters of Marah that were made sweet by the casting of the tree into the waters. Remember the quail that God miraculously sent to satisfy your hunger for flesh and meat. Remember the brazen serpent that was lifted high to heal you from the bite of the fiery serpents. Remember the earthquake that swallowed up Korah and his rebels, and the Passover lamb, and the death angel, and the drowning of the Egyptian armies. What Moses was saying is, okay, you got some tough times ahead, but you got some tough times behind you too. And cannot that God that led you across the Red Sea, cannot that mighty Red Sea, can he part this little creek called the Jordan River? Cannot the God of the past be the God of today and the God of tomorrow? Cannot the God that's led you through battle after battle and into victory after victory and through trial after trial? Moses was saying, I've got good news for you. He still lives today. That God of yesterday is alive today. These are words that I wrote down about 3 weeks ago. I think it was on a Thursday night. What God was saying is, through many dangers, toils, and snares, you have already come. His grace hath led you safe thus far, and grace will lead you home. The God of the Red Sea is the God of the Jordan River. Now listen, as I let you come into the little white sanctuary for a while and dwell with me on a lonely night. Cannot the God who fed me as a boy, living in poverty? Cannot the God who stayed with me as my drunken father left our house and my mother and I almost starved to death, but God fed us? Cannot that God lead me in my senior years? Cannot the God who the day before graduation sent me an unbelievable check so I could have a suit to wear and go to my own graduation, is that God not alive today? Cannot the God who fed for me and cared for me and Mrs. Hiles when I was a country preacher? Cannot the God who in 1957 saw me through a departure from the Southern Baptist Convention because I would not support the liberal colleges and seminaries? Cannot the God who miraculously led us to Hammond? Cannot the God who delivered us through the withdrawal here from the American Baptist Convention, cannot the God that saw me through battle after battle after battle and heartache after heartache after heartache and sustained us all these years, cannot that God sustain me now? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you wonder about the past, you look at what God has done for the future. You look at what God's done for you in the past. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, you have already come. But hallelujah, 'tis grace that brought you safe thus far, and grace will lead you home.
Doesn't he have other arrows in his quiver? Is his manna cupboard empty? Has he no more pillars of cloud? Has his Shekinah glory dimmed? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is he old and tired? Does he have Alzheimer's disease?
Cannot the God who 39 years ago led us up north when I said, let me walk in the fields? He said, no, you walk in the town. But I said, there are no flowers there. He said, no flowers but a crown. But I said, the air is thick and there's nothing but noise and din. But he wept his little back. He said, there is more than his sin. But I said, the sky is black and the fog is veiling the sun. He said, but souls are black and they walk in darkness undone. I beg for more time to be given. He said, my child, is it hard to decide? It will not seem hard in heaven to follow the steps of thy guide. So I took one look at the field and cast my eye toward the town. He said, my child, won't you yield and exchange your flowers for a crown? So into my hand went, his hand went mine. Into my heart came he. And now for 39 wonderful, glorious, hallelujah years, I've walked in a light divine in a path I once dreaded to see. Let me tell you, lonely heart. Let me tell you, broken heart. Let me tell you, person who's lost a loved one and living by yourself and the one beside you in the bed is now up in the glory world. Let me tell you, that same God that led you to where you are, he's alive and he'll lead you on. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I said, in that loneliness of a midnight hour, cannot the God who's led us to be debt free, when 7 millionaires told me 39 years ago, you're pulling out of this church if you don't quit the bus ministry. We didn't quit the bus ministry. They pulled out of the church. Two wonderful things happened at the same time. Cannot the God who could hear them say, you'll have to, they'll foreclose on the building. Well, bless God, we've got that building and 55 more buildings saying it. $55 million. And bless God, we don't owe anybody a dime. And that God that's led us thus far, he lives today.
Cannot the God who misdirected 2 bullets sent my way, cannot he lead me as a senior citizen? Cannot the God who saved a man who walked down the aisle one night with a 357 Magnum in this auditorium, walked down this aisle right here, we had a wall here, he looked up at me and said, I came tonight with a contract on your life, and showed me a piece of paper, $65,000 contract. He said to me that night, he said, I came to kid you tonight and had a plan whereby nobody would know who did it. But he said, after you preached the sermon, I decided to get saved myself tonight. And he gave me the 357 Magnum. Hey, that's a God who's alive today.
The God of yesterday is the God of tomorrow. And the God of the past is the God of the future.
Cannot the God who woke us up one morning when the house was set on fire and saved our lives, cannot the God that's helped this preacher to see 1 million souls walk the aisle in his churches receiving Christ, cannot the God that's helped us to build the schools and become the largest church in America and have the largest independent Baptist fundamental Bible college in the world, cannot that God, is he dead? Is he sick? Is he tranquilized? Is he, you have Alzheimer's disease?
No, sir. Moses said, I'm not going with you to the promised land. I'll be going up to Mount Nebo and taking my premature journey to heaven. But I want you to know that the God of Pharaoh and the God of the death angel and the God of the Red Sea and the God of heavenly manna and the God of the rock in Horeb and the God of the pillar cloud by day and pillar by fire by night, that God is the God that can lead you across the Jordan River. Hallelujah.
He was saying, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Now I ask you to look at your past as you face a new task. As you face a new battle, may I remind you the battles God has won for you in the past. As you face a new heartache, may I remind you of the heartaches that He shared with you in the past. As you face new enemies, may I remind you how He caused your enemies to succumb to you in the past. As you face new challenges, may I remind you how God gave you strength for the challenges of the past. As you face the college years, let me remind you how God cared for you in your high school years. As you face a new marriage, new illness, life without a loved one, forsaken by a spouse, nest empty at home, going to pastor a church for the first time, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, to look back and see what God has done before and what God did for you yesterday. And let me remind you that that God is still well and healthy today. God has other ravens to feed today's Elijahs. He still has manna in His cabinets. His quiver still has ample arrows. His coffers are not bare. His Shekinah still hovers over the mercy seat in the presence of the Heavenly Father this morning. He still has angels to protect His own. He still can sweeten Marah's waters with the cross of Calvary. He still owns pillars of cloud. He still is the owner of whirlwinds and earthquakes. He still meets His own at the juniper tree. There's more water in Horeb's rock. He is not old and feeble. He has not retired. He still owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He still is in the gold and silver business. He still is His healing balm. His kitchen still has enough loaves and fishes to feed many thousands of people. He can still put coins in the mouth of a fish, and His death angel still lives. He has a few more Red Seas in His arsenal, and that night I jumped up. And as best I could, I began to sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But grace has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." And I said, "Heavenly Father," I'm not closing the service, by the way. Don't get your hopes up. I said, "Heavenly Father, I didn't want to battle as an old man. I didn't want to go to court. I didn't want to face another lawsuit. I sort of thought, Miss Howes, and I sort of thought that we could live in somewhat kind of peace. But it looks like the battle's going to last until we meet the Savior. But I said, Heavenly Father, I thank You that the God of the Red Sea is the God of the Jordan River. Lift up your hopes today. Let your hopes rise and soar today. Your tragedy, heartache, is an opportunity to find out once again that He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And the God of yesterday is the God of today. The Red Sea God lives today. The Jericho walls God lives today. The brazen serpent God lives today. The God of Jonah's whale lives today. The Pentecost God lives today. The God who fed the 5,000 little boys' lunch basket is alive today. The God of the Pool of Bethesda is alive today. The God of daily manna is alive today. The God of walking on the water is alive today. The God of the pillar of cloud is alive today. The Passover God lives today. Jacob's ladder God lives today. The resurrected Christ lives today. The God of the empty tomb lives today. The God that raised Lazarus from the dead lives today. The eye-opening, ear-unstopping God lives today.
The God of Mount Sinai lives today. The God of Mount Zion lives today. The God of Mount Carmel lives today. The God of the Mount of Olives lives today. The God of Mount Megiddo lives today. Elijah's God lives today. The burning bush God lives today. The God of Moses lives today. The sun-stopping God lives today. The God of Gideon lives today. Shamgar's God lives today. Dwight Moody's God lives today. Billy Sunday's God lives today. Charles Spurgeon's God lives today. Savonarola's God lives today. John Bunyan's God lives today. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on.
As you embark on a new venture, don't forget it. The God of the Red Sea is the God of the Jordan River. As you travel untrodden paths where you never traveled before, remember the God of the Red Sea is the God of the Jordan River. Let me remind you that the God of yesterday is the God of tomorrow. The God of the past is the God of the future. God can bless you tomorrow just like He did yesterday. He wants to bless you tomorrow just like He did yesterday. He will bless you tomorrow just like He did yesterday. And sometime this afternoon, as you face a new era, you get alone somewhere and just look up and sing, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd like to live peacefully the rest of my life. I'm not a fighting man. I don't like to fight. I'm willing to fight. Don't jump on me or you'll get in a scrap. But I don't want to fight. I don't like to fight. I used to tell Brother Roloff, if a bullet came through the room, I'd hide under the table, but you'd jump in front of it. Not me. You want to be in Fox's Book of Martyrs, I want to be in Guinness Book of Records. But if the battles come in your life and in mine, be reminded of what Moses said. As you face new battles and a new body of water, remember all the way that Jehovah, the Lord thy God, hath led thee. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I got off my knees past midnight and looked up and said, thank God, the God of the Red Sea is the God of the Jordan River. Would you bow your heads, please?